Well, good morning again. Good morning again. Morning. It is good to be here with you. My name is Travis. I'm one of the pastors here. I failed to introduce myself a few minutes ago, but I'm so glad to be here with you. Hey, a couple things I want to make sure you know about this morning before we keep going. Some big things coming up. First of all, next Sunday is what we call Scent Sunday. Who's heard of Scent Sunday before? Yeah, okay. I sense that there's internal enthusiasm that you did not express externally. Who's heard of Scent Sunday before? That's good. Scent Sunday is a day where instead of gathering together for worship here, we gather together, but then we're sent out into the community to be the tangible presence of Christ to our neighbors. And so we have 14 different sites, 14 projects this year, 7 schools, 7 community partners. I'm really excited about that. And I want to encourage you to sign up for that. It's a really awesome day. So you can go to thevillagenashville.com/ScentSunday to sign up. There's projects for people of all ages. One specific project I want to draw our attention to is something happening at Tucker's House. Tucker's House may sound familiar if you've been around. That's where we gave our Christmas Eve offering this past year. And Tucker's House is an organization that works with children and youth and their families with special needs, and they help retrofit their houses to make them more accessible. And so there's a project. We're going to be doing some ongoing work with that this fall as well, but there is a project at Tucker's House that really needs our attention. And my understanding is it's not even skilled labor, right? So you need to be able to swing a hammer, but you don't have to be able to aim. So if you can just swing a hammer with no aim, we could use you at this project. So I just want to encourage you to sign up. There's two kids, Megan and Austin, are siblings. They have a really rare genetic disorder, which makes mobility a huge challenge for them. And so we're going to be doing some work in their house to get it ready and make it more accessible for them. And I hope that we're able to do a great job with that. So sign up for that. Go ahead and raise your hand if you're not planning to do Scent Sunday. Okay, good. That's great. We're all going to be there. I'm excited about that. So thanks for that. The second thing that I want to make sure you know about is something that's happening in about 6 weeks. This fall, we're going to be doing something called the Rooted Experience, and I couldn't be more excited about it. I just want to encourage everybody to be part of this. You're going to hear more about it, but there's a small group component that'll be happening here on Wednesday nights, and I hope that everybody in our church participates in this. So you can sign up now to be part of that, but you'll hear more about it as the weeks progress. So today is Back to School Sunday. Who's excited? Yeah. Let me ask it like, today's Back to School Sunday. Parents, who's excited? Yeah. Today is Back to School Sunday. Kids, who's excited? Oh man, it's a new time. I love new beginnings, and I love the start of a new year because I think new opportunities come with that. And so we're gonna spend some time praying for our students, for our teachers, and just school employees and parents later on in the service. And I'm excited about that. But before we do that, I want to read to you from this letter of encouragement. There's a book in the New Testament. It's called 1 Timothy, but 1 Timothy is actually not a book. It's actually a letter that was written by a guy named Paul to Timothy, who was essentially a member of Paul's youth group. So this is like Timothy was in Paul's youth group, and several years later, Paul writes him this letter of encouragement because Timothy has become a leader in the church. And here's what he says. This is applicable to everybody in the room this morning, but especially to our students. So I just want to read this one verse of encouragement to our students in the room. 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul writes this. He says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. I'll start with the first part of that. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. I don't know about you. I'm noticing that young keeps getting older. Is anybody else noticing that? Anybody else noticing that young? Like, I remember distinctly when my mom turned 30, and she was distraught. And I was distraught because my mom was getting so old when she turned 30. I just remember that. I've got this thing that I will often do with my boys when I tuck them in at night, and like whatever age they are, I'll say like, like, hey man, just want you to know you're my favorite 12-year-old in the entire world. And they'll say back to me, you're my favorite 43-year-old in the entire world. Which works for about 8 months of the year until Amanda turns the same age as me, and then there's a choice that they have to make in that moment. Usually they'll either say she's the favorite or they'll tweak my age to be like 43 and you're my favorite 43 and a half year old in the world, but mom's my favorite 43-year-old. That's usually how that'll go. But I'm just noticing that young keeps getting older. But this is an encouragement to people who are, so you can take it if you are young, if you feel young, if you ever felt young before in your life, you can take this encouragement for yourself. But did you know that all throughout the Bible, there are people who are young by the world standards who do incredibly significant things for the sake of the kingdom of God? Did you know that? All throughout the Bible, there are these stories. In the Old Testament, there's the story of King Josiah, and I love the story of King Josiah. King Josiah led one of the most significant spiritual revivals and renewals in the history of the people of Israel when he became king. Do you know how old Josiah was when he became king? Anybody know? Any guesses? Seven. He was eight. That was a good guess. Somebody at the last service was like 122. I'm like, no. No, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and as an eight-year-old, he began to lead one of the most significant spiritual renewals in the history of the people of Israel. Any eight-year-olds in the house, raise your hand. Asa, you were just baptized, right? You just said you're gonna follow Jesus, and now what's next for you as an eight-year-old is you're gonna lead one of the most significant spiritual renewals in the history of our church. Are you ready? You're thinking about it. Okay, where are my other eight-year-olds at? Just raise your hand. I want to see you. Got other eight-year-olds. Imagine if you became president tomorrow. Some of you are like, I already act like I'm president, right? So that's not a stretch, right? At eight years old, somebody did something incredibly significant for the sake of the kingdom of God. If you flip to the New Testament, when Jesus calls the disciples, the first 12 disciples, most of them were teenagers. Most likely, most of the early disciples, the 12 disciples, were middle school and high school students. Where are my middle school and high school students at? Raise your hand. Jesus used his youth group of middle school and high school students to turn the world upside down. And we're here 2,000 years later because a group of students like yourselves said yes to following Jesus, and they turned the world upside down. Timothy was 15 years old when he first met Paul. And later on, he's become a significant leader in the church, right? Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. He goes on, here's what he says. I love this. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but instead what? Set an example for the believers in speech and conduct. In other words, you as a young person, set an example in everything that you say in speech, everything that you do in conduct in these three areas: love, faith, and purity. I want you to point everybody, young at heart, not young at heart anymore, doesn't matter. I want everybody to point at your heart. I can see you if you're not doing this. Just play along. For the love of all things, just do it, right? I want you to say, love like Jesus loves. Love like Jesus loves. Set an example for the believers in love. Love like Jesus loves. The word that Paul uses here is the word agape, and it means completely selfless love. It's love that has no guarantee of being loved back. That's the kind of thing. Paul's saying, set an example in the ways that you love other people. The people that don't love you, love them. The people that don't agree with you, love them. The people who are unkind to you, love them. The people who don't include you, include them. Set an example in the way that you do that this year. The second thing is in faith. Point at your head. Say, think like Jesus thinks. Think like Jesus thinks. Paul says, set an example in love, in faith. Think like Jesus thinks. There are a lot of messages out there. You're going to hear a lot of messages this year of people saying, this is true, or that's true, or this is my truth. Anybody heard the hashtag my truth? That's one of my favorite things. It's not actually one of my favorite things, but that's a different message for a different day, right? There are going to be a lot of things that people say to you. This is true, that's true, this is true. And what Paul is saying is, set an example in the ways that you get your truth and stay true to Jesus, to think like Jesus thinks, to look to Jesus as the source source of your truth. Set an example. Even as a young person, you can do that this year. And finally, just extend your hands. Extend your hands out in front of you and say, do like Jesus does. I don't know if that's grammatically correct or not, so teachers, you can talk to me about that later. That's fine, but it fits, right? So love like Jesus loves. Think like Jesus thinks. Do like Jesus does. But be grammatically correct about it. I don't know. I just see some. I'm getting some eyes from teachers. I see it. Do like Jesus does. What are the things that Jesus does? What are the things that Jesus calls you to do? Do those things. As you walk through the hallway this year, set an example for the believers in your conduct, right? As you go into work this year, set an example for the believers in what you do, in what you say, in how you love, in what you think. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, because you can actually change the world this year in the ways that you follow Jesus and set an example. There's another passage that Paul writes. I'm going to invite my friend Kerrigan up here. Kerrigan, by the way, she graduated from Nolensville High School this year, and she's going off to the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music, and in a minute, she's going to set an example for us as a person who is young. But Paul uses this illustration and image of music, which I love, in Ephesians chapter 5. You read the Daily Bible with us this week. We send out an email every day that's got a Bible verse. We read through the book of Ephesians this week. So Friday's reading was Ephesians chapter 5. And Paul uses this encouragement and this musical illustration. And he says, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. And then he says this is an encouragement for all of us. He says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, with hymns and songs from the Spirit. I love this. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right, saying, be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because when you're filled with the Spirit, when you set an example, it sounds like beautiful music to the rest of the world. Kerrigan's going to help us illustrate that this morning. Love like Jesus loves, think like Jesus thinks, do like Jesus does. That's what it sounds like. There's a world that's filled with a lot of noise and filled with a lot of clutter, right? But when we set an example in love and faith and purity, it sounds like beautiful music breaking through the noise and breaking through the clutter. And that's our challenge this year. Students, that's your challenge this year. To set an example for the believers. And the noise in the hallways, the cafeteria, the classrooms, to let your life speak like a beautiful song, like a beautiful song, so that when people see you, they see Jesus, they hear Jesus, they hear his voice, they hear his words. That's our challenge this year.